Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our series of studies, Living Evidences of God. Or as we said on the last broadcast, this could be titled Evidences of the Living God, which is tantamount to the same thing. Now, we want to take up the subject today of our living high priest. In the book of Hebrews, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ there, of his priesthood, as our great high priest. We read in verse 25 of that seventh chapter of Hebrews these words, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now this is introduced by the verses 23 and 24 immediately ahead of it, and I probably should have read them. Here they are. "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, our Lord Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." We have a great living high priest who ever lives, who will never die. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was a priest before his death, but he did not enter in upon his priesthood until after he went back to heaven, and he represents us there. A priest represents. Our Lord Jesus Christ represents. He is there for our good at the right hand of his Father. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And he entered in, as I said before, upon his priesthood after his resurrection. It could never be said of you and me, Christian, that our great high priest died and then rose again and then resumed his ministry. He is an ever-living high priest. And the Apostle Paul makes a point of that. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now notice, please, he is able to save them. Here's his service as our great high priest. This is the service of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, using his intercessory power. Now, the salvation that he's speaking of here, saving us, is not the salvation that saves us from sin. That has taken place. He died as our great high priest on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, but he lives as our great high priest forever. And he did not enter in upon that priesthood, as we said, until after his resurrection. Our high priest lives forever. Now, this is very, very significant. In Israel's day, their high priest did not live forever. And it must have been really a point of apprehension upon the part of the Israelites about the next high priest that would come along. Would he be a good one? Would his heart be right with God? Would he have the interest of the people of Israel at heart? You know, there was such a high priest in the days, in the latter days of Israel. His name was Jehoiada. And Jehoiada lived to be 130 years old. And he was a famous high priest. During his reign as high priest, Jehoiada led the children of Israel along the paths of the Lord. And they followed the Lord. And Jehoiada lived, as we said, 130 years. Now, he did die. And he was buried among the kings. This is all found in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, rather, chapter 24 and verses 15 and 16. He lived to be that old age, and he was so honored that they buried him among the kings, if you please. They just wanted to honor Jehoiada. But it should have been a point of apprehension upon the part of the people. How about the next high priest? Well, I'm telling you right now, the next high priest did not have the influence that Jehoiada had. The children of Israel got away from God. And then there was another high priest by the name of Eli at the very beginning of Israel's history. That is, before they even had a king, before the history of the kings, rather, not before their history. But he, at that time, Eli, was the high priest. And he was a very doting father, and he let his sons, as priests, get by with immorality, with taking from the people of God, and forcing their gifts and their offerings away from them. And Eli was warned by God, you have honored your sons above me, and it's going to be fatal. And you know, he died with a broken neck. Eli died because of his tolerance with his sons, tolerating evil. Now, certainly, the people of Israel that existed in that day could have hopes that they had a better high priest the next time around. But now, after this is mentioned, then we are told, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Well, verse 24, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. We don't have to worry about that, do we? Our priesthood, our great high priest, rather, is on the throne, and he's there saving us. He intercedes for his own. We read that in verse 25. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He prays for us. And certainly the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ must be honored, and they must be very effective. Our great high priest saves us from the difficulties of life, from those difficulties that would sink us. He saves us. And this great high priest of ours is ours. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. But this he did once, when he offered up himself for our sins. Our great high priest died for the sins of the world when he was on that cross. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And the wonderful message of the gospel is that everyone who hears it has a right to say, that belongs to me. He died for my sins too. He died for the sins of the world. And those people that go on without Christ throughout this life don't feel the need of him, and die without Christ, and at the great white throne face their judge there, the one whom they would not receive. And remember, the scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Have we received Christ? Is he ours? Does he mean anything to us? When he died on the cross of Calvary, he died for our sins. Now he lives for us. Now let me ask you, which is going to be effective more, his death or his life? Well, certainly his death was necessary, but he ever lives to make intercession for us. He saves us from our difficulties, as we've already read. And then he goes on in his ministry. I think the ministry is very well summed up in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. We read there, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord Jesus Christ, down here in his earthly walk, experienced all the trials and the troubles that he knew we would experience. And he did it knowingly that this was going to inspire our confidence in him, that he knows just what we're going through. And our great high priest, that's what makes his prayers effective. And he's there dispensing from the throne of grace. He is dispensing mercy, first of all. And remember, please, mercy can best be defined as God taking away that which we can never take away. And then he dispenses grace, mercy and grace, as we read there. Let us find grace to help. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, grace supplies that which we could never supply. In his mercy, he took away our sins. And in his grace, he provided us with the righteousness that fits us for the presence of God. Now, this grace that we're speaking of is spoken of as enabling grace. In 2 Peter 3:18, we read there, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But notice, the grace is first. Now, if we have the grace, the knowledge that he gives us will not puff us up. Then John chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, we read there, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came, subsists, as Darby says, by Jesus Christ. He introduced grace. Yes, Moses gave the law. He gave the law to the children of Israel. But let me tell you one thing. As much as Moses was revered, he did not give them the power to keep the law. But our Lord Jesus Christ sustains that which he supports. That which he introduced, he sustains. And indeed, that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans 12 and 6, we have the grace of gift. Are we gifted? It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that's responsible. Listen to Paul. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And Paul tells us, told the Corinthians, and us too for that matter, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou boast as if thou didst not receive it? This is the sustaining grace of God. And then, in Ephesians 4 and 7, we read, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He is there on that throne dispensing grace to his people. Then 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, the Apostle Paul could say, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than the all, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. And the Apostle Paul was told by the Lord Jesus, when he lamented the fact that his ministry was hindered by that thorn in the flesh, the Lord Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the Lord sustains us. We've got a friend. We've got a representative in heaven, the mighty Christ that ever lives. Our Father today, help us to appreciate more and more what Christ is to us and what he's done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.